Yes.
Yo. What's up, brother?
What's going on, man?
Chilling, man. Hanging out. Hanging out. What the fuck, dude?
We're here with Nick Bryant.
I'm just in a silly mood. I'm in a very silly mood.
Man today.
I'm a wacky man. I'm in a very light mood. Well, I just read. You ever read Thomas Merton before?
I have read Thomas Merton.
I finished his book, Seven Story Mountain.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
What's it about?
Oh, it's about this guy who becomes a Trappist monk and how his whole journey, like, basically, he kind of draft dodged, honestly. He was facing World War II, and he was like, maybe I'm actually a monk. And he's pretty clear about it. He was like, I was just going to check it out, and they're like, they'll give you one more month to get your affairs in order. And he's like, yeah, monk it is. And his brother went and actually died as a pilot. And he wrote a very beautiful poem for his brother at the end of the book.
Oh, damn.
It was about his, like, brother's dead body that's just charred up in the middle of some field.
Jesus Christ.
It's a beautiful book, though.
Yeah.
Very nice.
He embraced Eastern philosophy
and
Buddhism, and he was like the first major religious heavyweight in the West to do that. So that his writings are actually still pretty popular.
Yeah. So either way, that's why I'm in a very light mood. I finished it last
night. Thomas Merton has made you buoyant.
It has. He's lifted me above this absolute terrible society that we're all trapped in.
Well, I'm sure our disguise from all bring you back down to earth.
Yeah, let's talk Diddy.
Put you in the seventh circle of Dante's Inferno.
Yeah, so you did a deep dive on the Diddler himself.
P. Diddy, yes. You know, it's kind of interesting. I like to stick to facts.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been watching people talk about P. Diddy, and some guy says this, and there's just been this rabid speculation. And then I think I've even seen the Illuminati, that he's part of the Illuminati or something like that.
It's Jay-Z.
And yes, and so I decided to take a deep dive into P. Diddy. I got his lawsuits, the five lawsuits that were pending against him. I read them. And two of those lawsuits were initiated by women who were minors at the time. Mm. I mean, he was really into roofing young girls and molesting them. And one of the girls that he roofied, he took video of him doing a Bill Cosby on her and then showed it to a bunch of his friends after. And so he's kind of a nasty piece of work, but all his homes were equipped with hidden cameras.
Yeah. Remind you of anyone?
Yeah, really?
So people are comparing him to Epstein. Now it's going to be interesting because I believe that he's going to take the fall for
You think he's going down?
I think he's going to take the fall for a lot of people because there are, I mean,
very unlike Diddy though. He let Shine go to
true. Yeah, actually that was like almost like a real trial.
Yeah.
I think this one's going to be very carefully choreographed, and some other, like maybe his sons may go down. I mean, his sons seem to be rapists too. So it's kind of interesting, but where the two interconnect, it's kind of, which is what I found out, is Damian Williams is the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York. And he was the one that covered up the Epstein trial. Mm-hmm. His district oversaw that investigation, and they only called four witnesses. And those victims had only been molested by Epstein and Maxwell. They didn't call any witnesses that were molested by any of the power brokers that Epstein was pandering to.
Is this the original trial where they sealed it, or his most recent one?
No, the last one.
Okay,
actually Maxwell's trial.
Gotcha.
He was going to prosecute Epstein too, but Epstein, his death kind of precluded that.
True. Yeah.
But yes, that trial was totally choreographed, and it was a total fix. I mean, Maxwell should have been indicted on multiple counts of child trafficking, and the procurers should have been indicted. They could have done a RICO with it, where you get the procurers, you indict them on 10 counts of child trafficking, they're looking at 1,000 years, and then they roll over on the big fish. And that did not happen in that case at all. They kept it very tight, and only Maxwell was the one that went down. Now, that guy is the guy, and because it's kind of strange that P. Diddy's homes in L.A. and Miami were the ones that were searched. But that search warrant emanated from the Southern District of New York, Damian Williams. So he's taking the helm of the P. Diddy case.
He's in control of all of it. Yeah. That's kind of nuts.
So that's why I know that the fix is in with P. Diddy. But this is also interesting. Damian Williams went to Yale Law School on a grant from the Soroses.
What?
And where it gets a little interesting is Peter Soros, their kid, is in Epstein's black book. And he's circled twice. Now, being circled incriminates you because the house manager who ripped off the black book circled all the people that were he thought were in cahoots with Epstein. And Peter Soros is circled twice. So that's kind of a conflict of interest. But I don't think that that really matters.
So why are the penalties so low? She got 20 years, right, for trafficking kids?
Yeah.
Because if you look up, you hear about guys musting kids. They get out a lot of times. Like, did you see the Nickelodeon thing?
Yeah.
Well, they would get out after like
Pickle
six.
Boy?
Yeah, Pickle Boy. They would do. Why? How is the
free
law
my man
set up?
Pickle Boy, dude.
Free my man,
Pickle Boy.
Roof him, dude. Put him under the jail, dude.
Yeah, he's back.
How is it that the penalties are only like 6 years for that versus like you would think? Like,
dude, we watched Zodiac last night. The alleged Zodiac killer.
Yeah.
Lee Allen or whatever.
Yeah.
He got. In the middle of being the Zodiac, allegedly,
yeah,
he got arrested working at a school for molesting children. He went to jail for like 3 years.
Yeah, why is the penalty so low for that?
Got out, went right back to writing Zodiac letters and killing people. Anyway,
jerk.
Yeah, you get like 10 minutes.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I have no idea why the law is set up that way. You would think, like, I always say, like, who would you rather live next to? And that should be the law, how long you go to jail for. Pedophiles, 100 years.
It's a 15 to life sentence. So I'm sure that if you're living in a trailer park and you molest a girl, that they'll put you away for life. But it's a little different with the people that run our world, I guess.
Or it's a life sentence to live with your mom. I think that's the life sentence. Life sentence, your mother's basement for the rest of your life.
Yeah. You got to go home.
Yeah. I would off myself grounded before that happened. Yeah.
Yeah. You just get grounded, I guess, if you're a pedophile. But yeah, that's crazy. Maxwell was like, she was famous for it. You'd think they'd make an example out of her for a long time. You were saying she's in a dormitory now?
She's in a dormitory. And the dormitories are generally for people that have done time and been exemplary prisoners and are about to get out. But she's right in a dormitory now.
That's
so
crazy.
And she got how many years?
She got 20 years.
Do you think how many of those do you think she's serving?
Well, in the Fed system, I mean, not that this is going to really count.
Yeah.
In the Fed system, you've got to do 85% of your time. So she should end up doing like 27 years. Or 17 years.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, she kept her mouth shut and she's got a lot of money that's waiting for her. And I think that was kind of the deal. This is just my opinion. My surmise is.
Yeah.
They sat Maxwell down. They said, Glenn, you know, you've done some really good stuff for us. You've enabled us to blackmail a lot of people. But you know, if you keep your mouth shut, you won't end up like Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, you're going to have to do some time, but then you're going to have lots of money when you get out.
Yeah. Maybe she'll have her own like Target line. She'll have like Home Goods Target line by Ghislaine Maxwell.
I was thinking, I don't know if Target would stoop that. Maybe Walmart would, should have her own Walmart line. I'm a Minnesotan and Target began in Minnesota.
True.
I have kind of a special affinity for it. Although, you know, what's kind of strange is I think Walmart and Target are kind of a jump ball, but as far as like quality and service and things like that. But people in New York actually have Target bags. It's almost chic to have like a Target bag. I've never ever seen a Walmart bag, someone using a Walmart bag in New York.
Yeah. They'll walk around. Usually they're homeless if they're walking around.
Yeah, if you got the Walmart bag, things aren't going well.
Yeah, that's not a Louis Vuitton purse by any means.
Well, actually, you know, I saw a homeless guy in New York a couple of weeks ago. He had like 8 Target bags. Oh. So
he was doing well.
Homeless chic. Yeah.
Well, so the Diddy thing, you think Diddy's go? I wonder, I don't think Diddy thinks he's going to go down.
Where do you get that?
I just think about it because it's like, because they were saying like, well, they were like, he could just flee the country. But I was like, I don't think he thinks he's
going
to get.
Somebody just told me that. They're like, Matt said he doesn't think he's going there. I was like, is Matt fucking talking to him?
No, I'm just saying like, because otherwise you think he would flee. But if he's, I don't know.
I think he is. I think the boy's got him.
He invented the remix, dude. You think he's not going down.
Now, that's a valid point.
Because otherwise, he has the means to. He's a flight risk. He could take off.
I would think that there's an eye in the sky on P. Diddy.
You think it's like, okay, that makes sense.
I think the people that raided his house are pretty powerful.
True.
I think they got a good location on that guy.
Yeah.
Like, we know you got blackmail stuff. That's what I heard. I heard they raided the house to get the
blackmail material.
Yeah.
I mean, the same thing happened with Epstein, where they drilled his safe and they pulled out hundreds of DVDs.
What?
And I've done freedom of information requests on, I didn't, of course, want the DVDs because who knows, you know, what licentious, nefarious things they're filled with. But I did ask for reports on the DVDs.
I've been having a tough time getting Pornhub down here. I might need the Epstein DVDs.
The box set.
The box set, dude. Get the portable DVD player going in the bathroom.
Well, if I ever get the DVDs, I'll...
Toss me the good ones. Toss me the good ones.
So...
Yeah, scrub the bad stuff.
And get rid of the bad stuff.
It's kind of funny. When Epstein died, the Fed said the case was closed.
Yeah.
So then I put in a FOIA for the reports... And then they said the case is ongoing.
Oh, really?
And then I did it again, I don't know, about 3 months ago. And then again, they said the case is ongoing. I mean, the guy's in the ground and rotting, but the case is ongoing. So
trying to see that Stephen Hawking. So I'm trying to see
him. Stephen Hawking. Fucking
that would have been tough,
reverse
I think.
Reverse forward.
Just back that thing up.
Maybe.
Back it up, Terry.
Hawkins might know some stuff about physics that we don't have a clue about.
True.
So,
yeah.
True.
You never know.
Sexually, he could get a little wormhole going.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. So he got... So Diddy... I know who was implicated in Diddy's was... Cuba Gooding Jr. got hit pretty hard. Everyone thinks Meek Mill is involved just because he was like... You know, they named basically his circumstances. But what was the main... What was like the worst one? Because I knew he had the case against Cassie... That you're saying he had the underage people.
Then there was Little the Rod. Producer.
Little Rod. That was the most fascinating one.
That was the last one. And Little Rod, I mean, it's kind of interesting because they've done three addendums. His attorneys have done three addendums to his initial statement. And each one is getting more salacious and nefarious.
Because the first one was pretty bad.
Was Little Rod with Cuba Gooding?
What's that?
Yes.
Is he the one that Cuba got?
Yeah, Cuba got him.
More like Cuba batting, if you ask me. Well,
it's kind of interesting on that link that I sent you. It's
come on, this is all I got.
The link that I sent you, it was Diddy and his kid Justin took a rapper. We only know the guy's name is G, and took him into the bathroom, and then multiple shots rang out, and then the door opened, and G just happened to be bleeding from his abdomen, and Diddy told Jones. Don't say I had anything to do with this. And, you know, I got to leave and take off. And then Jones was taken out. It was at Diddy's studio. Jones taken out of the studio. And the cops were called. And I've got a news article that says that G was shot outside the studio. But Jones took pictures of the bathroom.
Of the blood in the bathroom.
And
I saw that.
There's a bunch of blood in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So I think that shooting people, that's probably against the law, too. It's hard. Diddy's head of security, Fahim Muhammad, he was head of security for Michael Jackson. So there's a dude that knows how to keep secrets. And... According to Jones, he's a fixer. He's really tied into the LAPD. And what's really interesting with that is, you know, Michael Jackson was getting drugs, prescription drugs from all over, and he was using pseudonyms like Josephine Baker, and I think Jack London was one of them. But then Fahim Muhammad's name is right there as far as one of the people that was providing Jackson with drugs, and nothing happened to Muhammad. The doctor had some problems that was prescribing them, but nothing happened to Fahim Muhammad. So, and Jones maintains that he's like a superlative adept fixer, that he's got connections in the LAPD that can make, he said, that can make either problems or people go away.
Damn. I think Diddy got too pumped on Empire. I think that might have been what happened. He might have watched Empire too many times. Dude. Freaked out.
Shoot a guy in the stomach in front of your son. Yeah. Like, this is our empire. Dude.
Well, the son's busted. I heard the son is like for sure getting busted on one of the things.
Last lawsuit is against the son.
Yeah.
And it was by, Diddy rented a yacht, and some woman said that she had been molested. That the woman... Diddy's implicated because the woman said that Diddy set up a environment where these workers were going to get molested, and this woman
put him on a yacht.
Yeah, put him on a yacht. There's no way to go.
Yeah,
it's the implication.
Damn. Well, Diddy's going down. You heard it first. I didn't know. I was like, maybe they don't have enough solid stuff on him. There's a lot of it is like a lot of hearsay. But yeah, it seems like he's going to go to jail. He's going to go there.
I think he's getting
Kells. Kells is out, but Kells, Diddy. Damn. Well, he's going to get killed?
Yeah, probably, right? If he does.
I don't know. They're going to probably give him the Ghislaine Maxwell talk. Did some bad things. And it all depends upon who he's compromising people for. Because there's enough information that his homes had hidden cameras that I actually believe that his homes had hidden cameras. So I just don't think that he was blackmailing people for himself.
Yeah.
Now, what's really interesting is the guy that he started Bad Boy Records with is Clive Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And Clive Davis has an interesting criminal history. He was charged with not paying his taxes in 71, 72, and 73. He was head of CBS Records. And He was busted embezzling $94,000 from CBS Records. And the guy that he was using was a Genovese crime family named Pasquale Falcone. And how they intersected with, this is kind of interesting, how they intersected with Davis is Falcone was smuggling 22 pounds of heroin into the United States. And then they started looking at Falcone, and then they saw that he was doing these illegalities with Clive Davis. And then he also shelled out $250,000 for payola. That's giving kickbacks to radio stations, which is totally illegal. Yeah. But he did all these things, Clive Davis, he did all these things, and he walked. The dude never spent a day in jail.
Oh, then he teamed up with the diddler. That makes sense.
And then he came out with the diddler.
Feds,
yeah.
The feds said,
yeah, that was the connection.
We need you. We need the diddler.
Damn.
So you've got kind of, it's an interesting alchemy right now with P. Diddy. You've got his head of security, who is a fixer, who knows how to keep secrets about child abuse. You've got Clive Davis, who has been busted on innumerable things and felonies and not spend a day in jail. And then you've got a U.S. attorney that likes to cover up child abuse. So it's a pretty interesting alchemy to see how those things all turn out.
What do you think about Jay-Z? Nothing on him yet at all?
You know, there's a lot of innuendo about this person or that person. Like Diddy says, when he was sued by his girlfriend, Cassandra, Cassie Ventura, according to Jones, he says, well, I've got enough leverage on Bishop T.D. Jakes to get him to go to bat for me and say I'm a good guy and nice guy. And now, Bishop T.D. Jakes, he's got a real estate empire. I mean, he's got a mega church in Dallas, but he's got like a real estate empire. And now one person on Twitter said that he's gay. So then the next thing, everybody in the news
that's
saying,
pretty good,
yeah, and he's, got, have... and he's blackmailing T.D. Jakes because he likes little boys, yeah, you know, or whatever. So
one guy calling you gay on Twitter. That might be the straightest guy on earth.
And the person said, well, it's right there on Twitter.
Yeah.
So now here's a guy that's worth millions of dollars, and he just did a deal with Wells Fargo that could be up to $1 billion in housing. So, and he's a preacher, which his being a media mogul and also a real estate baron, it seems a little at odds with preaching. I mean, not when you get to the evangelical side and you're on television, I guess not.
Yeah. And mega church. And mega churches are like basically businesses and stuff where you can, you know, you just get a guy and be like, yo, fund me. I'm going to start 10 more of these things.
I got to meet Jim and Tammy Baker once. Not really the highlight of my life, but it was interesting. A friend of mine was an Herbalife distributor, and the feds busted him.
What? For what?
Dispensing Herbalife, marijuana.
Oh, Herbalife, yeah.
This is before, I used to call it Herbalife. Now, but that reference is kind of lost.
He's a dispenser of Herbalife. So
there was actually something called Herbalife.
I benefited financially.
There was actually something called Herbalife, and but you guys are too young to know about that. When you get old and crusty like me, there's a lot of references there.
I remember Herbalife. The guys, there was this couple that was standing in the back of the church, and they had pins that said "Lose weight now, ask me how." And they would stand in the back of the church.
Catholic church? Yeah. Get them out of there. They're selling their wares.
I know. I almost flipped the tables. But yeah, it was this couple, and they had the guy with like a skinny guy with a mustache and the lady with 80s hair, and they were just standing in the back, and they looked great, I'll be honest. They were both looking pretty slender. Yeah.
So a buddy of mine.
Instagram. You had to just go stand in public and go, lose weight. I know, secrets. There's secret drugs you can take. Everything will be better.
It was just a veteran, bro. Yeah.
Try crystal meth. Yeah. An herbal life together. You will lose weight. So I was visiting a buddy of mine in the federal prison in Rochester, Minnesota, which is kind of like a club fed. A lot of mafia guys end up there. And when you visit someone, at least in this prison, they put you in a little group and then they escort you across this courtyard. And I was in the same group as Tammy Faye, and she looked like she does when she's live. She looks like maybe an Avon train wreck or something like that. I mean, she's definitely putting on her makeup with a trowel.
Yeah.
And you know, I wondered why Jim Baker got, you know, he was originally like 100 years or something. I mean, it got. It was appealed and got knocked down, and she got nothing. But when I met them both, so I was talking to my buddy, and
what they did, what they were like a mega. What do they do?
Well, they had a mega church, and
they got arrested.
Well, he got arrested for embezzling and all kinds of other things. And he was building like a born again.
Damn, yeah.
There we go. There's
like a secretary from the Drew Carey show.
Yeah, it really is, dude. It's exactly that. That's crazy. Cleveland rocks.
So I was visiting my buddy, and then she came and sat next to Jim, and I was sitting next to my buddy, and he had this sinister grin on his face. I mean, there was something kind of malignant about him. And what I felt about Tammy was, if you wanted to go to the bathroom, you had to go up to like this desk and they'd give you a key. And then, I watched her go up to this desk. And the only thing I could think of, and I'm not trying to be disparaging here,
sure.
But the only thing I could think of is she's really a fucked up person. I mean, that's really what I felt. Honest. I mean, and he's sinister. And now he's got his own evangelical show again.
Oh, he got out, and now he's back to the same thing. So what was her deal, though? Was she there just to visit him?
She
dumped out some herbal life.
Did they get conjugals? Did he get conjugals in there?
I don't think there's any more conjugals left.
They don't do that anymore?
Not that I'm aware of. Of course, prisoners have their own conjugal thing.
True.
But,
true that.
Of a certain stripe. But, well, so Jim Baker's got his own show now. And you would think with all that scandal, and I was also told that Jim, I probably shouldn't say this because it is derogatory and defaming, But I was told that Jim spent a lot of time on his knees when he was in prison.
Really?
Praying.
Yeah.
Damn, who told you that?
Some people that were that did time with him.
Damn.
So
probably, I mean, his enthusiasm was probably great.
True.
So now that I know these,
you'll get to take it out. Come out of this.
So now that I know these things about Jim,
just anointing himself with the chrism, dude.
Running around after he gets the facial.
That is insane. I mean, again, I know what you're saying. You don't want to implicate yourself in any kind of negative smearing, but as a just a joke, it's very funny for a mega church pastor to just be just pulling it out of guys in prison. Well,
say your name, demons.
Be out.
Be gone from this man. Oh. Oh, Lord. Oh.
Mega church pastors get into a lot of those problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all freaks.
Yeah. It's, and I feel sorry for the people that believe in them and then ultimately end up giving them tons of money. And
yeah.
There was an article, it was either Time or Newsweek did an article, because Jim Baker would go out with all these prostitutes and then he would have them.
Baker's.
Do man. Stuff and yeah, you know, and there was one prostitute that said, you know, I've got two kids and I wouldn't let them near that guy. So and damn. Here he is preaching to millions of people every Sunday.
Really? She was like, he was too,
I guess he's got some aberrations.
Yeah, some requests.
Time magazine and or Newsweek, I can't remember which one, really didn't delineate on those aberrations, but I think that we can, from the anecdote that I've told you about, is stay in prison. I think we can maybe extrapolate.
True.
Well.
Yeah. Try some.
All right. Let's. So, final thoughts on the diddler?
I think he's going to go down. But here's the thing: Diddy just didn't have musician friends, but he was plugged into politics, not quite like Epstein.
Yeah, vote or die.
But
no, even,
yeah, he was old. He was
Yeah, true.
And he also had a lot of sports people too. So. Going to his, well, he had regular parties and then he had what he called freak off parties.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see if any other people are going to go down. And the feds can be very persuasive. I mean, they can say, Diddy, you made a lot of money. I mean, we can take it all.
Yeah, true.
And put you away for a million years and then, or else you can go gently into that good night and you can keep your money and we won't arrest half your family.
Damn.
I wrote a book called Confessions of a DC Madam, and it was about a guy who ran a gay escort service in Washington, DC. And there was a CIA asset that would use his escorts to frame closeted guys. It was a blackmail operation. And, he was, now here's a guy, he was a mortician.
That sucks. So, just being a guy fucking a gay prostitute and then be like, gotcha. Oh. And be like, fuck. We filmed you.
That would throw.
No. It's, that so sucks. With Henry, he was a mortician, but he was raised in like the southern corner of West Virginia where people, you know, preach with snakes and things like that. And so Henry moved to D.C. and he'd been closeted this whole time. And then through a weird set of circumstances, he bought an gay escort service and from a guy that was dying. And Henry is really brilliant as far as a marketer. So what he did is he opened up the Yellow Pages and he started calling all the escort services, which are generally fly-by-night operations. And if the phone was disconnected, he'd call up the telephone companies and he'd say, I'll pay for the arrears. So he ended up with like half the escorts in the DC Yellow
Pages. True arrears.
True, yeah.
Rear enders. Butt sex.
So his dying friend was like, yo, I'll sell you. I'll get a fire sale. Stable full
it was
of
someone
gay
he
men.
Met who was like a gay version of the Chippendales.
Ah.
Introduced him to this guy. So, yeah. and there was a guy. Okay, so with Henry, Now, here's a guy that was running a gay escort service. I mean, all he was doing is running a gay escort service. Yeah. I mean, he's
and
not
he was gay, too. You said he was gay. He was closeted, and then he bought.
He's an innocuous guy. He's a very gentle guy, very quiet, unassuming. I mean.
Yeah, gay.
You would never know that. If you just met him, you'd never know the kind of history he had. So he was indicted on 46 RICO counts.
Damn.
So he was looking at 395 years in prison. And this is what the feds said to him. Henry, we've used your escorts to compromise a lot of guys. And, you know, we appreciate that. And we're going to make a deal with you. We can put you away for 295 years with all these RICO indictments.
Yeah.
Or.
And that's in gay years or regular gay years? That's like 20 in regular straight.
So they said, Henry, we'll give you a consolation prize. You keep your mouth shut and we'll only put you away for 5 years.
Whoa.
So he took the deal. But he was totally sold down the river by his attorney, who was Greta Van Susteren. I mean, what she did to him was pretty egregious.
What'd she do?
She basically sold him out to the government. Anything that the government wanted to do.
Oh, it sucks.
She allowed them to do. And she's a Scientologist. I don't know if you guys are familiar. But she got Henry to go to like Scientology boot camp and get cleared. Once you're cleared, you get a blue cake. And then Henry actually got a blue cake. But then he had to go back and get sentenced. And
He got clear before he went to jail.
Yeah, he had some time.
Got blue cakeyed.
he had some time to get cleared before he went to prison.
That's cool.
But that's what happened with him, is that he was made that deal. And I can see Diddy being made that deal.
Gotcha. That makes sense. He's going to, the power brokers will.
Yeah.
I mean, how about people just stop being sexually impious and we wouldn't have these problems?
Speak for yourself.
I think in this day and age, that's kind of. I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah, well, I feel like now they can just grab the web history off people. They can just snag your porn hubs and be like, yo.
I'm really glad that I was a wild kid in my youth. Mm. And I'm really glad that smartphones weren't around in my youth. Dude. And YouTube wasn't around, or else I don't know if I'd be able to be a journalist, a respected journalist today. I mean, not that I'm that respected, but, you know, I'm somewhat respected.
You're on this podcast, so that's pretty good.
True. Yeah, no, being plugged
all the respected journalists go.
Being plugged into phone porn from 12 is, like, pretty wild.
Yeah, I've been reading about that. It severely messes kids up.
Yeah, I would think.
Yeah, Gardini's young.
Yeah, Gardini's victim.
He's an absolute deviant.
But then the thing about Pornhub is they've been busted like nearly 120 times with minors. I mean, you would think that they'd get shut down after 10 or 20 or 30 or something.
Putting out vids of minors, basically? Or just like child labor laws, like having like data entry.
And actually, there's been some girls that were minors that have sued Pornhub.
From their stuff being out. Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang.
Everyone has to upload their ID, dude. That's what they do in Texas now. You have to upload your driver's license.
Yeah, I read about that.
I like that.
Not necessarily a bad idea.
Obviously, probably a good thing, but...
Yeah, it's fair.
It's dampening my jacks. It's been a real damper on my jacks. You just go on and you're immediately reminded of child sex.
You go... what do they say? Like,
I jack off to that. I don't need thumbnails anymore. I jack off to the governor's warning. I go, oh my God, this is bad.
There's so much porn behind this. That's innovative.
Yeah, I got.
We just ended up jacking off to your own license. Like, fuck it.
This is a crazy photo. Look like me.
You know, the thing about it is, I'm sure you've got narcissists out there that do that.
I mean, yeah, especially your license photo. That'd be crazy.
All right, I think
that's supreme confidence.
We need to make the move, dude. We need to discuss the truth about Watergate.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's going on here?
The truth about Watergate, that's my last book. Everything that you know about Watergate, the vast majority is a lie.
So Gump, Forrest Gump didn't break it up?
he played only a minor role in Watergate. It's interesting. What happened with Watergate, and there's been some really great books written about Watergate, but they're tomes, and they're very, very complex. And it's hard. I mean, you have to kind of study them. So my goal was to be the unified field theory of Watergate revisionist books. And what happened with Nixon is Nixon decided to do strategic arm limitation talks with the Soviets. And he also started to open up China for diplomacy, rapprochement. And he was doing this behind the backs of the CIA, the Department of Defense, and actually the State Department. And on his first or second day, Nixon didn't like the CIA, and because he felt that the CIA sabotaged him when he ran against JFK in 1960. So Nixon, it was, I think, National Security Memorandum 2, was some kind of innocuous document that he issued his first or second day, where he said that the CIA, the Department of Defense, and the State Department will have no input whatsoever in any of my geopolitical moves. Basically, he was telling those three bodies just to go to hell, and he was going to do his own thing. And then he started making contact with the Russians, and then he started making contact with the Chinese. He'd been a cold warrior, and he saw that that wasn't working. He saw that containment wasn't working. Mm. And he just saw that we were spending all this money, and he just realized it wasn't. It just wasn't prudent. It would never work. So he started to do this. And then the Joint Chiefs of Staff actually had an espionage ring against Nixon. It's called the Moore-Radford affair. Thomas Moore was head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He was an admiral. And they used Moore and they used Radford, who was a yeoman that was the link between, because he was using the National Security Council, Nixon was, to do all these moves. And Radford was the liaison between the Joint Chiefs and the National Security Staff. So Radford was stealing all these documents. And Alexander Haig was in on it too. And actually Haig plays a role in the demise of Nixon. So Haig was enabling Radford to steal all these documents.
Who's Haig?
Alexander Haig is... he's a general. He was the Joint Chiefs of. He was Nixon's chief of staff, and then he was ultimately the overall leader of NATO.
Oh, I would love to see.
And he's from Philadelphia.
Awesome.
Oh, nice.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's from Philadelphia.
Damn,
go Birds.
So the Joint Chiefs started this espionage ring against Nixon, but the Nixon administration outed the espionage ring.
Oh, they found out.
Yeah. So then the CIA started to infiltrate the Nixon administration. Kind of like Scarface at the end of the movie where, you know, he's double-crossed the Bolivian drug dealer and all those assassins, you know, are coming. Okay, so that's what the CIA did to the Nixon administration. I mean, they just started inundating the Nixon administration from all different types of angles. And what's interesting about Watergate, it's a conspiracy within a conspiracy. Because McCord and Hunt, who are the two guys that were busted in Watergate, their goal was to take down Nixon. They wanted to take down Nixon. And but there were two agendas at work. And this is actually my third book on sexual political blackmail, because at the heart of Watergate is a CIA sexual honey trap. And what's really interesting, so the burglars broke into Watergate, and there was a secretary from the Democratic National Committee named Maxie Wells. She kept photos of prostitutes in her desk under lock and key. And if you were a Democratic VIP, you would go there and take a look, and then these girls would be at the Columbia Plaza, which was a high-class apartment building. And that was, and the CIA had film, had video or film or whatever.
So you were just walking to this lady's office and she'd be like, check out these.
Well,
ladies.
I mean, I'm sure that there was some kind of secret handshake or code or something like that. Gotcha. Probably like, hey, I'd like a hooker. Is there one? So
do you think these girls are pretty?
So John, the woman that ran that escort service.
I hear the cherry blossoms are beautiful this time of year. Oh, yes, they are. Yes, Senator.
I don't know if there was a lot of cherries at that.
Oh, yeah.
But.
The cherries are gone.
I think cherries have been gone a long time. But so John Dean's wife, Maureen Dean, was good friends of Heidi Reichen, who ran that escort service, that CIA compromise escort. And actually, G. Gordon Liddy said that she was part of that escort service. And he was sued, but he managed to win it. The first was a hung jury, but then he won the second trial. But anyway, so one of the burglars, Eugenio Martinez, had a key to the desk where the pictures were taken.
Oh, no.
Where the pictures were kept. And when they got busted, their photograph equipment was on her desk. So, but then there was another. Okay, so that was the first conspiracy, and that was initiated by.
I'm sorry, did he, when he used the key, did he get rid of those pictures and they were never found?
No, no. He got busted before he could even get into the desk. Okay. I mean, they were on them really quickly. And he tried to get rid of the key. He got the shit kicked out of him twice by Carl Schaffler.
Damn.
Who was
fucking Schaffler?
Carl Schaffler was the cop that was notified that the Watergate break-in was going down.
Why was he trying to take the pictures of the naked ladies?
I think that they wanted to take as many pictures of whatever documentation, women, anything that they possibly could.
And this was a CIA guy stealing the ladies?
Okay, so
yeah, let's.
I'm confused.
Hold on.
The lady's name was, what was the wife's name again? Marie?
Maureen Dean, John Dean's wife.
Gotcha.
Who's John Dean?
Okay, so John Dean was counsel to the president.
Okay.
And he was the guy that supposedly saw that that the Nixon administration was awash in moral turpitude and corruption.
Gotcha.
And he's the guy, he had a book called, it's actually a great piece of fiction. It's called Blind Ambition. And he was the guy that turned on Nixon in the Nixon administration. And then ultimately it was Nixon's word against Dean's word. But there's quotes or there's tapes of Nixon talking about Dean and Dean lying. I mean, Dean, he's a snaky guy. Mm-hmm. And Maureen Dean was very, very attractive. And John Dean, but she was good friends with Heidi Reichen. And it's... What's really interesting is a number of people have thought that she was working as a prostitute for Heidi Reichen or working with Heidi Reichen, mm-hmm. running her prostitute gig. And John Dean's book was Blind Ambition and Maureen's Dean was Watergate, A Woman's Journey. And they both say that they met in L.A., that Maureen Dean was living in L.A., when they met, and then they had a torrid romance, and then Maureen Dean flew to Washington, and then that was it. She moved in with John Dean. Mm-hmm. But I found an article in the Washington Post where it's talking about her working for the government before that. So either they're lying in their books or the Washington Post is lying because it's out of the, if you take that chronology in the Washington Post, it's because people have said Maureen Dean was a hooker, but it never made any sense to me because she flew back to Washington D.C. and she lived with John Dean. She didn't need to be a hooker to make money. But according to the Washington Post, she was already in Washington D.C. when she met John Dean. So, with that timeline, it's definitely feasible that she could have been a hooker with Heidi Reichen. And plus, her and Heidi Reichen were very good friends. That's pretty much proven.
Gotcha. So what did they actually nail him for? So you're saying the Nixon, if I'm right or wrong, but I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but it's like Nixon's people had this prostitution thing going on, and they tried to expose that, and then he caught them trying to do
that. Okay, so what happened was Nixon didn't know anything.
He didn't know. Okay,
he didn't know anything about any
of this.
That's
kind of my question.
And actually, the top people in the Nixon administration didn't know about Watergate. They knew nothing about Watergate. And it was Jeb Magruder, who was the acting chairman of the committee to reelect the president. And it was John Dean that sent them in there to the Watergate.
And they were, the story I was always, they were just in there to steal, what, Democrat, like, political plans?
Well, dirt.
They were just in there to get dirt on the
dirt. The first time, actually, there were two break-ins. The first time was dirt, or the first time was, yeah, any kind of documentation. But the second time was definitely dirt.
Okay.
I mean, that's why they had the key to Maxie Wells' death.
Yes. But now, if they were in there to get dirt, I thought they were against Nixon.
Well,
a lot of those guys.
No, they were CIA guys.
Yeah.
All those guys were CIA except for G. Gordon Liddy, the crazy one, but they were all CIA. So the overt plan to get it for them was to get dirt. The plan that Magruder and Dean told them to do was to get dirt. Now, there was a second agenda going on there. Those CIA guys, McCord and Hunt, had infiltrated the Nixon administration, like those assassins in Scarface. And their goal was to get Nixon out of office. And they had the opportunity because that was that whole thing was a setup. McCord really hated Nixon, and Hunt didn't like him at all. Mm. And just to make sure,
they're going to steal him out of the office?
What's that?
They're going to kidnap him, steal him out of the office. So how are they going to do it, though? Are they just going to like plant something or just like look for bad stuff?
Or just intentionally get caught?
They were just going to see how it went out. But then there's the media side of it, too, which I can get into a little bit later. But with the CIA guys, they wanted the burglars were just, they were Cubans that had worked with the CIA before. But Hunt and McCord were actual agents.
Gotcha.
Now, they were ostensibly retired, but they weren't. I'm in the book, I show that they're still working with the CIA. Mm. So the goal of Dean and Magruder was to get dirt on the Democrats. And some people have speculated that Dean wanted those pictures because his wife was in those pictures. I don't know, but that's what people have speculated. But the CIA guys, that was not their goal. Their goal was to incriminate Nixon. And at the Watergate, the Democratic National Committee was on the sixth floor. And on the eighth floor was the Federal Reserve Committee or whatever it was, Federal Reserve. And now someone had broken into the Federal Reserve about a month before the first Watergate burglary. And the McCord really tried hard to get busted. So at about midnight, six guys in suits signed into the Watergate at midnight and went up to the eighth floor, signed in for the Federal Reserve. But the security guard was like, I think he probably had the IQ of an avocado. He couldn't figure that out at all. So the second time they went in, there was a guy named Baldwin, and he called the DC police. And Carl Schoffler was he was a DC policeman, but he'd also worked for intelligence, probably a little bit of both. And he was a block and a half away. And then when the call came in, they went right to the Watergate, and then they got busted. And Nixon, the thing with, so those were the two, it was a conspiracy within a conspiracy. The overt conspiracy was to get dirt. And then the CIA's conspiracy, the covert conspiracy, was to get Nixon.
And you're saying Nixon didn't even know about the
get dirt
plan.
Didn't have a clue. None of those guys did. And that's what they were calling each other. And they go, who sent these guys in? Because Nixon was way ahead of McGovern. I mean, he walloped McGovern. It was going to be probably the biggest landslide up to that point. Reagan's
until 2024.
True.
Why did he get in trouble for people breaking in, though? I don't understand.
What's that?
Why was he in trouble for somebody?
They sent Watergate was just they sent people into the Democratic Committee to steal shit. That's what he got impeached for. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That was how it was portrayed.
Okay. That makes sense.
So that's what Nixon left office for.
But what happened? What he left office for was obstruction of justice. Because Nixon, I mean, you listen to the tapes of these guys, and they're going like, "What the fuck?" Yeah. I mean, who ordered those guys to break in? Now Magruder and Dean, who ordered them to break in, kept quiet. So those guys had no idea.
Damn, so there was just like nine burglars in the building and everyone was
Spider-Man out. Yeah.
But Nixon, his natural instinct was to cover it up. I mean, he didn't know why anybody broke into the office, or he didn't know some of the other crazy stuff that these guys had done. But it was just his political instinct to cover it up.
Gotcha.
And that's where he got busted. Is he tried to use the CIA, and the CIA double-crossed him. He tried to use the CIA because the FBI launched this investigation, and they found leads to the Nixon administration because of Hunt and McCord. And he tried to get the CIA to play their National Security Guard to stop the FBI. Now, Richard Helm was head of the CIA at that point, and him and Nixon hated each other. When there would be a cabinet briefing or a National Security Council briefing, Helms was allowed to brief the cabinet members or the National Security Council. But then after that, he had to leave. Nixon had overt, they really hated each other. Now, Richard Helms said, "No, we're not going to cover it up." But then Nixon said something about the Kennedy assassination. And actually there's tapes where Nixon is grilling Helms. Who shot John? Who shot John? And so Nixon leveraged them with the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, wow.
And then Helms said, "Okay, we'll do it. We'll do it." But he didn't. And actually the CIA provided more incriminating evidence against Nixon. But Nixon didn't know any of this stuff. All these machinations were just going on below the surface.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I had no idea. I thought he got like in trouble for like stealing stuff. I didn't know what happened. I thought he actually just stole stuff and got busted and was like, "My bad.
I'm not a crook, dude."
Yeah, I'm not a crook.
It's the thing is, if Dean and Magruder hadn't ordered those break-ins, then Nixon would have...
That's what was tied to his, to get those pictures.
And
of their wives, their hot wives. Yeah.
Their hot wife, and they got busted. We got to get those naked pictures of our hot prostitute wives out of there. Shit's about to go down. Yeah.
Well, at least they were adults. I mean, I got to give them that much.
Yeah.
They were adults.
True.
True. Well,
By today's standards, that was...
Yeah, that was actually very nice of them. Very chivalrous.
So they wanted Nixon out because he was trying to chill out on the Cold War.
Well, he was befriending the communists.
Yeah.
And the Hawks and the CIA and the Department of Defense hated the communists.
Nixon's always portrayed in like modern, every movie he's in, he's like a war hawk. He's always like, "We need to nuke them now."
Yeah. Well,
meanwhile, he was trying to de-escalate.
Yes, big time. And he even told the Soviets that he was willing to relinquish Vietnam.
Didn't it end under his administration?
Yeah, Vietnam War?
Yeah.
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 I mean, he bombed the shit out of the Vietnamese before he had that.
He gave that a shot.
But Nixon is kind of split personality. So he really worked hard to do a arms deal with the Soviets because he saw the nuclear escalation. And actually, he cut defense by 64%. In his administration. And he did some positive, like OSHA, and he wanted to give health care for everybody, all Americans. He enacted some, Environmental Protection Agency. I mean, that was also a Nixon initiative. He did do some good things. Now we just look at him as evil incarnate. But yeah. But it was, so what was really interesting about this is Woodward and Bernstein were essentially the guys that the two reporters that brought him down. And they're the most pathological liars of probably anybody in the entire Watergate saga. It's really interesting. And Ben Bradley was the editor of the Washington Post. And he was a CIA guy, too. So, and Woodward was also a CIA guy. Bernstein just wanted money for nothing and chicks for free. I mean, he blew all his money on prostitutes and coke.
Yeah.
And he had a tough time after that. But
Bernstein.
And so what's fascinating, I mean, people think that those two are like the Mount Rushmore of journalism. And I mean, what's amazing about them is they're telling lies when they don't even need to lie. I mean, a lot of time they need to lie, and I understand that, but they're telling lies when they don't even need to lie. It's kind of amazing.
What were some of their most like egregious lies?
Deep Throat. Okay, Deep Throat was the guy that gave Woodward all the dirt on Nixon to take him down. Mm-hmm. Now,
why did he call himself Deep Throat, by the way?
What's that?
Why did he call himself Deep Throat?
That was back before it was really fucking, yeah. It really was. I remember even as a kid being like, why did they call him Deep Throat? I don't like that. Didn't they make a porn like away? Yeah, that like popularized.
Did it really?
That being like, that's sexual. Oh, that's sexual. Deep Throat. Yeah.
There was a very popular porn movie called Deep Throat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Woodward.
Oh, he just named himself after it. That's pretty sick.
Oh, he named himself after it?
Well, he named his source Deep Throat.
Oh, okay.
Was the porn out before he named it Deep Throat?
The porn was out, and then there was a Supreme Court battle over it, and then the porn, and then back in.
My political name would have to be Thick Latina Mommies.
The source, Thick Latina Mommy, is here. He's here to give us all his secrets.
Amateur Latina Mommies.
Stepmom Stuck is here.
Yes, the dossier.
Yeah. Girlfriend, so he named himself. Girlfriend Experience is here.
He named himself after a porn. That's crazy.
Right, no, so he didn't. Woodward named him.
He named him after his favorite porn.
Fucking sick ass.
That's crazy.
That's fucked up. If I was Deep Throat, I'd be like, what the fuck?
Because he was briefing other agents. They'd be like, oh, my sore is Deep Throat. Like, all right, dude.
Yeah, Deep Throat hid his identity, right?
So totally hit his identity.
You can't be like, dude, stop calling me Deep Throat. You just have to be like, fuck, I'm Deep Throat now.
What if you briefed all the other guys? You'd be like, well, Deep Throat. They'd be reading the thing like, dude, can you stop calling him Deep Throat, please? Mr. Blue is fine.
Yeah, Mr. Blue works.
But they rolled out a guy named Mark Felt who was severely impaired by Alzheimer's and said this was Deep Throat.
Yes.
And actually, I think Deep Throat was a composite. I think that Woodward was getting. I mean, Woodward's tapped into intelligence. He was naval intelligence.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Just for everybody that's not familiar with Watergate, Deep Throat was Woodward's inside source on all the stuff that broke to the Washington Post.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Woodward said that he had this elaborate system that he'd contact Deep Throat he would move this flower pot on his balcony. Okay, so his apartment faced a courtyard. So Deep Throat couldn't have just driven by and seen the balcony. He would have to go behind the parking lot. And here's where it really gets problematic. If Mark Felt was fired 6 months before the most incriminating stuff on Nixon came out, the tapes, and so he, according to Woodward's, I mean, no one said this, but he was driving in from Virginia every day, you know, going behind Woodward's building and looking up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's total bullshit. I mean, it's.
And there was never, and they never even found the identity of. So that seems kind of weird to me to be a journalist and be like, I have a secret source.
Yeah.
And then write it as fact.
Yes.
That seems outrageous. You can literally make anything up and say, I have a secret source.
And especially, I mean, with all the lies that I catch them. And then it's kind of interesting if Deep Throat ostensibly wanted to contact Woodward, he would take the New York Times and then he'd put the time, a clock on whatever page, and then the paper would be delivered to Woodward. But the problem is, all the New York Times that went to that particular apartment building were just put in a pile.
Yeah.
they weren't put in front of Woodward's door. So the whole thing about Woodward is, and what happened was, as Watergate started taking a toll on the Nixon administration, he had to start firing people. He fired his chief of staff, Halderman. He fired his domestic czar, John Ehrlichman. He had to fire his attorney general, Richard Kleindienst. And Alexander Haig was such a great shapeshifter. He had been in that administration because he'd worked for Nixon, or worked for Kissinger at the National Security Council. And Nixon really liked him. Haig hated Nixon, but Haig was a really cunning sociopath. So he became Nixon's chief of staff, which was the biggest mistake that Halderman ever made, H.R. Mm-hmm. Halderman, when he got fired. He said, well, try Alexander Haig. And it was Alexander Haig that provided the really incriminating stuff.
Gotcha.
But here's the thing. Woodward and Haig lied. They said they hadn't met each other until 1973. And Woodward was debriefing Haig in the 1960s when Woodward was with Naval Intelligence. So that...
Woodward was Naval Intelligence before he became a journalist?
Yeah, yeah. And Jesus. Here's what...
Free Nixon, bro.
Yeah, true.
So what's interesting is... And I'll tell you just how crazy the Woodward story is. So Woodward, he graduates from Yale. And he's accepted to Harvard Law School. And then he ostensibly goes to the Washington Post after he's been accepted to Harvard Law School and says, you know, I'd really like to be a reporter. I tell you what, how about if I write for you guys for 2 weeks? And then if you don't like it, you know, you don't even have to pay me. And if you don't like it, then I'll leave. So that was the deal that was ostensibly made with the Washington Post. And then they put him, ultimately, he ended up in the AAA system of the Washington Post in a weekly in Maryland. And he drove a Karmann Ghia. He lived in a very nice apartment. There's no way that he could, and I demonstrate this in the book, there's no way that he could have paid. Woodward was definitely a spy at that point.
Yeah,
I get what you're saying. There's no way he was making that
money. And then the Washington Post brought him back. And then 9 months later, he and Bernstein broke open Watergate.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
They tell all kinds of other lies, but Deep Throat is definitely the biggest lie that they tell.
Do you think the stuff happening to Trump now might be some sort of interference operation or what?
You know, I don't know.
You said it, brother. Yeah. I was waiting to ask, and I was like, I don't want to.
I was curious. No, it sounds exactly familiar.
It's really hard to know with Trump. I don't see how that guy cannot be compromised myself. Mm-hmm. I mean.
But it does have the thing that reminds me of it is like the hallmarks of like JFK and Nixon, where it's like, let's de-escalate with Russia. Let's de-escalate with North Korea and China. Like, why are we... You know what I mean? It seems to be that.
You know, I'm willing to keep my mind open on that.
Yeah.
His tax bill was probably the biggest redistribution of wealth that we've ever experienced in the United States in a short period of time. So he did help the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. He's also circled in Epstein's black book.
Yeah. Right.
Which is pretty incriminating. And he denied being with Epstein, but an Epstein victim has come forward and said that she'd talked to another Epstein victim. They were adults, but Trump had been kind of hard on the one victim. So
damn, hard on how so?
Just a little rough.
Rough.
Sexually rough.
Yeah.
I knew it was a dynamo in the sack.
I mean, we're not talking leather and S&M type stuff. Yeah, you know? Yeah.
But, you just put a hurt in all lady at Epstein's Island. Yeah, I would say, yeah, if you're on the, he was pretty good pals.
They were really good pals. Now, and it's tough to know. He said that he sure. heard that Epstein.
I heard he broke it off after the first one when Epstein got arrested in Florida.
Well, he Did ostensibly they... broke it off before then.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's Donald Trump has problems with veracity, so it's difficult to know.
Has there been any connections of him and Epstein after that? Like when he said they were done being friends?
He took Epstein's plane.
After that?
Yeah, after that. And he was also visited Epstein's house. A deposition from Epstein's brother, Mark, talks about that.
Damn.
So he did lie. Trump did lie about that.
Yeah.
Gotcha. With Gates. And Gates revisited him too, didn't he?
Well, here's the thing with Bill Gates.
Yes.
The media cover story on him is that they met in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
The Evening Standard did an article on Epstein in 2001. And according to that article, Gates and Epstein were doing business in the 90s.
Damn.
So there's a lot that's been covered up about Epstein. And there's guys like me that really want to get at the truth, but the government and the media are just fond of kicking out salacious details. And it's really hard to get to the truth because there's been so many lies. But when I think about Trump being prosecuted or persecuted, you know, I do think about Nixon being persecuted. I believe, you know, here's the thing with Nixon. He wanted to de-escalate the arms race. He wanted to open up China so he could use China against Russia. I mean, that was his thing. And it was working for sure. But then he backed Pinochet, who was a genocidal dictator. Jack Suharto, who was a genocidal dictator. And then Pol Pot. The Chinese were down with Pol Pot, and he wanted to appease the Chinese. So he tacitly backed Pol Pot.
But was that CIA doing that, or that was him?
That was Nixon.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, the CIA ultimately
did it.
Did things that enabled it.
They got it done. Yeah.
So
gotcha.
With Nixon, it's not. The media has sold Nixon as good versus evil, but it's not quite that simple.
Yeah.
And the media has also said that it was the left that toppled Nixon, when it was actually the right that really had the means, motive, and opportunity initially. I mean, eventually the left got involved, but after the right had inflicted a tremendous amount of damage on him.
Dang. Yeah, I had no idea. I never really asked. I didn't know much about Watergate. I thought he just got caught doing something kind of bad.
Everything that, like I said when we started, everything that you know about Watergate is a lie.
Damn.
Just about everything.
Shit.
Let's take a pee break.
Yeah, I do have to pee really badly.
Quick break.
Quick break, yes.
It can be easy. Hey! I'm Josh. Eat your chicken, dude. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? Hmm. How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Personal endorsement. Golly.
Yeah, man. You got to fucking figure all these questions
out. You got to answer these questions. Otherwise, you're going to spread yourself.
Yep.
Last thing you want is to be spread. You don't want to be spread, dude. You ever been spread?
Yeah, you be careful. No, thank God I wasn't.
Right now, I've been spread. Thankfully, I've been home lately, but I was
sure,
spread.
Yeah, you get spread out.
Gaping
in
the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, true. I'll spread myself out a lot of times, family, and then I'll just
spread yourself in front of your family.
Yeah.
Yeah. At Thanksgiving, you come there, you spread in front of everyone.
I'm like a turkey on the table.
You can just lay down, put an apple in your mouth, and just spread. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible, and suited for your schedule. Just fill out a brief. It's so funny thinking of them getting this. Hatteries. Brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. And you know that's something me and Matt love the most about BetterHelp.
True.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/MSSP today to get 10% off your first month. And that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/MSSP, dude.
That's what I'm talking about.
Think about your dad coming down at Thanksgiving and fucking spreading himself.
I just like to switch up. They're like, you're narcissistic bipolar. I go, next. Try again.
Nope, wrong.
I demand another. All right, here we go. Ever experience the agony of harsh smoke, throat burning, or coughing attacks when smoking cannabis? The struggle is real, but the solution is chilly. That's right. I'm talking about the smoothest way to light up, and that's with Freeze Pipe. Freeze Pipe makes a unique line of freezable pipes, bubblers, and bongs that are 80% colder than using ice cubes to chill smoke. The magic is in freezable glycerin. The magic is freezable glycerin chambers that come on every piece. So,
that
pause.
Is that what?
Simply pop the chamber in the freezer for 1 hour, and as smoke passes through, it's instantly chilled by over 300 degrees. So every puff arrives ice cold and cough free. Yeah, I mean, dude, we can joke around all we want. Those things cool down smoke. You can't deny it. It is what it is. Those are just the facts. American-owned and with over 100,000 happy customers, Freeze Pipe uses the thickest glass and market-leading glycerin chambers for a smoother experience you have to feel to believe. Ditch harsh smoke forever by visiting thefreezepipe.com and use code DRENCHED for 10% off your order. That's thefreezepipe.com and code DRENCHED for 10% off. Shop today for free shipping and smoke like royalty without paying a king's ransom.
Lucy is made for your nicotine routine and delivered straight to your door. It's 100% pure nicotine and always tobacco free. You can choose your preferred form, pouches, breakers, or gum, and you can choose your strength from 2 milligrams to 12 milligrams. 12 is a lot. And I'll tell you what, I know some hockey players that would like that.
Oh, yeah.
Flavors include mint, apple ice. That's the hockey player's favorite.
True.
Espresso, mango, and more. Save yourself from the weekly gas station stop and sign up for a monthly subscription, which saves you 15%. No commitment. Cancel anytime. Avoiding the gas station stop is very nice.
Yeah, man.
That's big for Lucy.
Yeah, I might get in a fight.
Personal endorsement. I go to the gas station sometimes for my gas station fix. I don't like it. That's why I switched to Lucy, and I like Lucy.
Yep. You don't have to talk to any ruffians that might be hanging out there.
The ruffians there, yes.
Mm-hmm. Careful.
The product that sets Lucy apart is Lucy Breakers. It's nicotine pouches, but with a tiny capsule inside. That capsule contains a liquid flavor that saturates the pouch before it's even in use. Oh, fucking saturate some lady's pouch. Break it in with your teeth and boom, instant nicotine release when you need it. Let's level up your nicotine routine with Lucy. Go to lucy.co/drench and use promo code DRENCH to get 20% off your first order. Lucy offers free shipping and has a 30-day refund policy if you change your mind. Lucy.co and use code DRENCHED to get 20% off and always free shipping.
It's great.
And here comes the fine print. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age, and every order is age verified. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Shit. Oh, please. Also, this week I'll be in Las Vegas. Please come, Wise Guys, Las Vegas. Go to mattmccusker.com for tickets. Yeah, and there's a bunch of other shows. Please come. Bye. Yep.
Just don't even ask. Stick your fucking beak in the camera.
Oh, yeah, sorry. That'll be quick. Me, LeMaire, and Nate's show is on May 7th at the Creek in the Cave. If you're in Austin, Texas, please come.
Those have been really fun shows.
Yeah, yeah, they've been
great. The
and
next
now
one's,
Nate's with you guys.
Nate's
you,
with us. It's a 3-man team now.
You guys are, yeah.
Pause.
Resume.
Ooh. Yeah, don't ever backtalk Matt
sorry,
like that again.
Sorry, Matt. Sorry. And please come to Raleigh. Good nights in Raleigh on June 6th. Thank you.
Oh, God. Now we got a big shot touring comic.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I wish. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah, before we get into the Watergate stuff.
Yeah, we'll do this as like a precursor almost. At least, almost. There you go. We'll do it as a precursor.
Yeah, because a lot of the... Fuck. a lot of the people listening to this are young men that just young men that have never really heard of Watergate or have just a brief summary of some names and what the overall scandal, or at least is portrayed as.
The official narrative. Yeah.
Okay, the official narrative with Watergate is Richard Nixon sanctioned Watergate and the burglars got busted. And then Nixon tried to cover it up. And then that's ultimately what he was taken down for, is obstruction of justice. Mm.
Okay.
But the real Watergate story is, yes, Nixon didn't have a clue that those guys were breaking in to the Watergate. He had a couple of guys on his staff, Jeb Magruder, who was acting chairman for the committee to reelect the president, and John Dean, who was counsel to the president. Those two guys sanctioned the Watergate break-ins. And the burglars, G. Gordon Liddy and was the only one that wasn't CIA. All those burglars were CIA guys or CIA assets or had been CIA assets. G. Gordon Liddy was the only one, and he'd worked for the FBI. So Liddy was the point man, and Liddy thought that breaking into the Watergate was coming from Nixon's attorney general, John Dean, or John Mitchell.
Right.
He had no idea that it was coming from Jeb Magruder and John Dean. So they sent the burglars in the first time to get as much information on the Democrats. Now, the Watergate was the sixth floor of the Democratic National Committee was on the Democratic National Committee was on the sixth floor of the Watergate. And the burglars broke in the first time, and they were looking for, like, Democratic strategies, things like that.
Gotcha.
And then they broke in a second time.
The first time they broke in, they didn't get caught.
They did not get caught. No.
And this was how long before the second break-in?
About 3 weeks.
Okay.
And then 3 weeks later, they were ordered to get as much dirt as they possibly could. And the Democratic National Committee was connected to a brothel that was a CIA honey trap. And what happened was the secretary at the Democratic National Committee had in her desk, she had pictures of a bunch of prostitutes.
Yeah.
And Democratic VIPs would check out the pictures of the prostitutes.
I'm busted doing that. So that was a whole separate issue. Yeah, so we got that one.
All right.
Yeah, we got that one.
I think we're good.
Yeah, so we have the preamble.
Let's fire it up right back to where we were, which was, what were we talking about? Yeah, Bill Gates.
Be easy.
All right. We just got done talking about Bill Gates' connection with Epstein back in the 90s.
Yeah.
What bothers me about Gates, have you guys ever tried to get a hold of a human if you've had a problem with Word?
Oh, it's the worst, dude. Or, you know what happened one time? What happens is they'll do a thing where you'll just, like, an Indian guy will just take over your computer. Like, I was, like, moving my mouse, and my mouse would start going to the left, and I'd be like, what the fuck? He was like, sir, please stop. Yeah, they'll just, if you got to give them permission, they'll just get into your computer and start fucking going nuts on it.
I've never been able to make
a lot for me to get that, though. I was chatbot after chatbot.
If they got into my computer, dude.
Yeah, eventually.
They could ruin all of my Total War campaigns.
Dude, you could tank.
You could start a war with Russia, dude. I don't want that.
You know, here's what... there's a number of things that bother me about Bill Gates, but one of the preeminent things is he's buying all this land.
Yeah.
Why can't he put a call center, you know, on one of those acres? I mean, if he just spent a little of his money and made a call center in Idaho.
Yeah, or have the dudes, like, hoeing all the strawberries, the Bluetooth, and they could do two at once.
Yeah.
See?
But not Billy. He's got a... because I'm a writer, and I rely on Microsoft Word, unfortunately. Dude, and I had some problems with it about 6 months ago, and I desperately tried to talk to humans.
Yeah. Can you find your Word documents that you save on the OneDrive? If I save anything on OneDrive, I can't find it. I don't know where it is on my computer. Sorry, this is we don't have to talk about.
No. Well, I mean, I can try to give you. I can try to give you some tips.
I can't find the file afterwards. I'm stumped. I'm currently stumped. I try to.
You
send,
lost your files.
I just try to like they're there, but then I try to email them to someone as an attachment, and it's just like, where is it?
I'm you
like,
need a call center.
I do.
You desperately need.
You gotta
a call
let
center.
The engines into your computer, and those just start.
Yeah, they'll get it.
Look it in there. Which I don't know how I even got in there. That was kind of nuts. I was like, get out of my fucking mouse.
I mean, Gates wasn't making enough money selling Microsoft Word. Now we have to rent it. And then.
Yeah, the suite.
There's no call center. I mean,
Yeah, that might be his most, honestly, out of everything he's accused of, that might be the worst.
Was he ever accused of laying with ladies at Epstein's?
He's been outed that way.
Yeah.
Not with Epstein, but with some... In some other scenarios.
Okay.
But if he's been outed in other scenarios, I mean, why wouldn't
he? Yeah, why wouldn't he do it?
Then his wife was the one who like blasted him on the Epstein stuff.
Actually, which is a good according, God. According to the media, she left him.
Because of it.
Because of the Epstein stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
But he and knows, Epstein went back to the 1990s.
Damn.
Instead of 2011. There's so much bullshit that's been manufactured about Epstein. And so much salacious dirt. It's really unfortunate. You've got a guy that trafficked children for 25 years, and our media, no one in the mainstream media has called for any justice for any of those victims.
No, yeah, well, it became right wing to even care about it.
That's not for sure. If you that care became about also, it, that's a big thing we talk about a lot on this is like, we don't do anything about it. The only thing you can do with Epstein is just on a podcast be like, the fuck?
Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah, true.
They killed him. We knew they were going to kill him.
Yeah.
And he trafficked kids and no one, yeah. That's as far as we get.
There's a couple of things with Epstein that people just don't know. Okay, there's the Epstein Victims Compensation Fund that where a lot of Epstein's money went. And it 225 victims applied for money. 150 were given. Yeah, 150 were given money, and 8 decided not to take the deal. So ultimately, 142 were given money.
Damn. Can you imagine being cheap with that money?
But think of all the girls that he trafficked, and only 225 were come forward. But here's the other. There's a couple other things. If you take any money from that fund, you've got to sign an NDA.
Oh.
Where you cannot name any of the perpetrators. And also, I know... two psychologists, and one of them is very eminent. Mm-hmm. She's in the world of psychology, she's quite the superstar. She's counseled a woman, and then another psychologist is counseled a woman. They were under 10 years old when they were trafficked by Epstein. And one actually described Epstein's home and then talked about a park that was by his house and a number of things. And she was under 10 years old. And then I know of one other, I mean, these two psychologists I know pretty well, but then I know of another account too, that I've been told of another account from someone who's, I think, legitimate, but I just haven't been able to corroborate it. So you've got the Epstein Victims Compensation Fund is a huge cover-up tool.
Damn.
It's being used to do what the government can't, to get these girls to shut up. And you've got to, and according to the government and the mainstream media, the youngest Epstein victim was 14 years old. So if you're going to apply for that fund and you're younger than 14, they're not going to give you any money. And we have no idea of how it works. We have no idea what the criteria is. It's behind a, it's in a black hole, essentially.
It's weird that they're not, it's not weird, we know why, but it's clear it's a cover-up. They're not being open about anything. This should all be, like you said, you filed for Freedom of Information Act and all that. This should be public. right?
Well, yeah.
I mean,
it's like, what's the point of being like, we can't tell anyone what
pretty
happened?
Pretty useful to know, yeah, in terms of like hiring, voting for politicians. Yeah. Be like, oh, yeah, you raped
a kid. Yeah, did he rape a kid?
Yeah, you're out, dude.
We can't vote for you.
Yeah.
I wrote a book called The Franklin Scandal, which is basically, Epstein has a carbon copy of The Franklin Scandal. It was about a child trafficking network. We talked about that the first time I was on your show. Mm-hmm. And this time around, I mean, I was on to Epstein in 2012. And I got his black book in 2012.
Yeah, yeah.
And I ultimately published it. Gawker helped me publish it in 2015. But it took me 3 years to get that book published. It's kind of interesting. Once the book was put, nobody wanted to touch the book.
Yeah.
And but once the book was published, the floodgates opened on the book.
Yeah. So,
and I started an organization, a 501c3 called Epstein Justice. And what we're trying to do is to get a commission formed to actually look at the perpetrators. We want the perpetrators to be accountable, and we want to know why the government is covering up child trafficking. We have two simple objectives. We want the perpetrators prosecuted, and we want the government to tell us why it's covering up child trafficking.
Yeah, like, why did they seal the original case when he got busted the first time? That all got sealed, didn't it? The very, very, very first case way back
in Florida. A lot of that was sealed. I mean, I was able to get a lot of documents from the police and also the feds. They're floating around out there. I mean, I was the feds when Epstein was originally busted. He was the Palm Beach Police Department started investigating in 2006. And then about a year later, they they were going to arrest Epstein on 5 counts of child abuse. And they knew they had statements from 5 minors, but they knew of 17 others. Jeez. So there were 22 minors there. And then that case got taken away from them and it was put into a grand jury. And how grand juries work is a special prosecutor is chosen for a grand jury. And he's the one that presents evidence to the grand jurors who have they're just regular citizens that have shown up for jury duty. And so grand juries have been notoriously easy to hijack because you just show them the evidence that you want to show them. So although, and the guy, the special prosecutor for the Florida grand jury, Barry Kirshner, he called one victim and skewered her, even though he knew about 22, even though law enforcement. Now, when it went to the feds, they had a list, and I've got that list, of over 30 victims. And they didn't indict Epstein on one kind of child abuse.
Jesus.
And it's interesting, a lot of your listeners might know this, but Alexander Acosta was the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Florida. And he was asked, he became Trump's labor secretary. And when the Trump administration was vetting him, they asked him why he went so light on Epstein. And he said, I was told that Epstein was intelligence and it was above my pay grade. He actually said that and he's never denied saying that.
What?
Yeah, he said that.
Shit.
That's so crazy. Unfortunately, there's a rogue element of our intelligence that blackmails people. And it happened in Watergate. It happened in the Franklin scandal. And then it happened with Confessions of a DC Madam. So this is actually, Watergate's actually my third book on CIA sexual blackmail. And I don't really want to write another one at this point. I mean, I'm kind of done now.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to start writing about fishing.
That'd be nice.
Fishing and picnics.
Fantasy. Fantasy would be nice, like fantasy novel would be nice.
I think my mind is probably too dark for that. But given what I've exposed it to the last, I've been at this for 22 years. So
yeah,
it's been kind of a slog, but Epstein Justice, every American knows that something is wrong with the Epstein case.
Yeah.
There's three, if you've got a pathology, there's three ways. There's three phases. There's awareness, there's acceptance, there's action. And now we're at the point where Americans have to accept that the government covered this up. And then at that point, and that's a jumping off point for action.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, nobody believed that he could. I think you got to be pretty
entrenched in like the TV news to be like, no, the police were going to arrest him and penalize him, and then he killed himself. It's like, I don't know, man.
Yeah. he did pick a convenient time to kill himself.
True.
Yeah.
When
the guards left and the cameras turned off.
And he got depressed. And he's like, and what's the point? What
the fuck? He missed the guards.
And then his serial killer cellmate was taken out.
Yeah.
And
damn, he had a cellmate? I didn't even know that.
What's that?
He was bunking up with the guy?
Yeah, with the guy that had killed multiple people. I think maybe the Bureau of Prisons was hoping that.
Yeah, that guy would get it. Yeah.
I mean, they're in pretty close. You're in pretty close proximity with a multiple killer. You know, multiple.
They're probably shaking his cage, rattling his cage, trying to get every day at lunch. Be like, yeah, "Fuck you, pussy! You won't do it. You won't kill anyone ever again. You're soft, bitch. Here, take this knife."
That's crazy. Yeah, he was there with a serial killer.
This guy was a former police officer who'd killed some people.
Yeah, those guys go rogue, dude.
Yeah, I don't know if you could call him a serial killer. I don't know. A serial killer, I think he killed three people. Yeah,
we got one here right now.
I heard about the Austin killer. Yeah.
I think they found two bodies like last week.
Mm-hmm.
No one cares because apparently it's gay guys. So everyone's going, it doesn't matter.
They suspect he's gay because he only kills like young adult males.
Oh, okay.
That leave like bars on Rainy Street.
And that's where you frequent.
That's not where I frequent.
Careful, Sean.
Sean, be careful.
I'll catch him.
You might catch him. You might, yeah, with I'll your wrestling background.
In, yeah, and I'll catch
Did
him.
Did you ever hear about the lake?
Bring him to justice.
My friend was telling me this weekend, there's a lake in somewhere in Georgia called like, not Rainier, some sort of lake where apparently it had something to do with like the slave trade back in the day and blah, blah, blah. But all these like younger kids will be partying on the lake and they just go under. And they'll ask their friends, like, was your friend like hammered? Like, nah, I look fine. So there's the local lore that like there's these ghosts of slaves that are just like pulling down white partiers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, dude. I heard about that. I was like, damn, that's so scary.
That's very scary. Get your ass done, motherfucker.
Better work on your breaststroke.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Now, this is racist, but you'd think you'd be able to outswim. You think that's white's territory. You go, oh, we're in the water now, dude. You've entered the white's domain.
You've had your fifth white claw. You're like, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, that's a tough way to go.
Come here, boy.
A ghoul.
You're on a paddleboard. You're like, get off me.
Oh, shit.
My Either first one. Major investigation was into a serial killer.
I thought
killer.
You liked that.
Sorry. I love it.
My first major investigation was in, I'm from Minneapolis, and I wrote for The Weekly, and there was a crazy woman who, she ran an organization called Whisper, and she tried to mainstream prostitutes, get them out of the life. But she was so crazy that it was hard to listen to her, and she was saying that there's serial killer killing prostitutes, but nobody really listened to her because she was so crazy. And then I decided, well, you know, I'm gonna look into this, and I was able to find, I think it was like 46 women, mostly prostitutes, that have been stabbed, strangled, or beaten to death in the previous 8 years. Now, law enforcement had denied that there was a serial killer, but then I showed them my list, which was really difficult to put together.
Yeah.
I showed them my list and I said, I went to the Minneapolis Police Department. I went to the St. Paul Police. I said, you guys really want to say that there's no serial killer? And then they kind of copped to it, but then it was a task force was formed.
Oh, wow. Did they ever get the guy?
In the wake of that article. No. Yeah. They're really hard to catch.
Yeah.
If they're good. I mean, if they're stupid, you can get them after one or two.
True, yeah.
But if they're Ted Bundy or someone.
Was Dahmer in Minneapolis?
He was in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. He's in Milwaukee, right?
Yeah. I can remember I was at this really nice little island in Lake Superior called Madeline Island. And the guys that I was staying with, they don't have like televisions or radios or anything. I mean, it's pretty rustic, and it's really cool to do a lot of it. There's berry picking and fishing, all kinds of stuff.
It's awesome. Berry picking's nice. I did it this year. It's very relaxing. Hey, blueberries. It was fantastic.
It's we're definitely picking blueberries.
That's nice.
It was awesome.
And I came back to civilization and I stopped off at a diner. And that's when Jeffrey Dahmer had been outed. And I was reading the newspaper and I thought to myself, welcome back to civilization.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
a cannibal.
But the FBI says that there's like 50 of them at any given time in the United States.
50 serial killers kicking around?
But I think that it's probably closer to 200.
Jesus Christ.
It's kind of interesting. Our culture, I mean, serial killers are in all cultures, but our culture seems to mass produce them more than other countries.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Well, what would be your insights into that?
About why we have more serial killers?
Yeah.
Because we're number one.
True. We're the best.
Yeah, we're the best at literally everything. School shooters.
Yeah, we are the best.
We're number one.
We definitely have the most serial. Like how far is our lead?
I think Japan covers them up. I think Asia covers them up and says, no, there's no murders here.
Yeah.
I think we got quite the head start. If it's a 50-yard dash.
We celebrate ours. They hide theirs.
It's true.
Russia gets after it, don't they? I think there's a lot of Russian boys.
Well, there was that Russian Chikatilo who killed in excess of like 100 people.
The guy here is, and he's putting them all in Lady Bird. He puts all the bodies in the same spot.
Really? I mean, that should.
Yeah, the cops just go and, let's set up a fucking, let's get some fucking trail cams out there.
Yeah.
It's not that. You guys don't even have to wait outside. Just put a camera up.
Yeah, right by the lake.
Go, who's dumping sweet gardenias into the Lady Bird lake?
He's looking at the camera.
Party boys.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
Yeah. They got me.
Yeah, that's a. That creeps me out.
You would think that if they knew where he's dumping them, that.
You would think.
That would be.
It'd be kind of easy.
Put a camera there. And
what is it?
The United States apparently has had 3,615 total serial killers. Second place is Russia with 196.
Damn.
We're the best.
That's quite a lead. Yeah.
I think that also could do with law enforcement here.
Catching.
At least investigating. I think if you're, and this is starting in what, like the 60s, 70s is when serial killers started getting rowdy?
Yeah, I mean, they were happening before then. But
yeah. But I mean, getting caught and being like in the news. We had media and people looking out for it.
We have more.
You could be in the middle of fucking Russia killing people. No one would ever. You go village to village. They go, yeah, that guy's gone.
Chikatilo was doing that, though. Russian serial killer.
But we have more shooters. We have more. I mean, because we have all them guns.
But the guns thing. What's interesting is Canada has a. Pretty much the same amount of guns per capita as the U.S.
Really?
And they're not shooting people like we shoot people.
That's interesting.
Hmm.
I wonder what the hell it is. Red food coloring, red food dye. I don't know. I mean, maybe it is just...
Too much MTV.
I think it's...
What's your theory?
Too much Beavis and Butthead. South Park. Marilyn Manson.
I think it's people eating McDonald's.
Yeah, I was about to say, doing chicken nuggets. I was just thinking the same thing.
You do go nuts if you have nuggets.
Dipping your fries into a Frosty.
Yeah, I should kill that bitch. This reminds me of a knife into a hooker.
My theory on McDonald's, it's all made out of the same substance. It's just at different temperatures. Now, I could be right. Soylent Green. I mean, I should add that, too. Would your generation know what Soylent Green is?
I've heard of it. It was that one-stop shop. Like, you could just drink the shake and it replaced food, basically.
No, actually, it was... It was a movie where the population had kind of escalated and they were recycling people. lunch, breakfast, and dinner.
They have a thing called Soylent that I swear to God it's like a meal replacement.
It was a Charlton Heston movie, actually.
Dang. It's kind of fucked up to name the shake after that.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
It was before he became president of the NRA.
Damn. Yeah, I don't know. That is a mystery to ponder. Why would we have the most serial killers? Our rough competitive edge.
I bet we have the most of literally everything.
True. Not the best.
I bet we have the most pedophiles. I bet we got it on lock. Everything. Best slam dunks. True. Most slam dunks.
True. Everyone is. Yeah, everyone in their own way has to aspire to greatness.
You got to do something crazy.
It's true.
Well, what's interesting is the United States, I think, is the most spiritual country and the most material country. There's more spiritual options here than I think anywhere else. But yet there's also a rampant materialism.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe all that materialism begets that, you know? You go, why do I need all this shit? I need to find some.
Well, your materialism begot me starting a podcast. So it's kind of interesting. I'm a really bad speller. I was really dyslexic as a kid, and I can't really spell. If it wasn't for spell check, there's no way I could have been a professional writer. Yeah. So I was at a buddy's place, and he had one of those Macs, and he put spell check on, and he said, and I watched the spell check correct all the words, and I thought, I got to get one of those. So I got a Mac. And then I moved to New York, and I'd covered this conference on genetic engineering, and I was writing an article about telomeres. They're like the egglets on the end of your chromosome. And every time a cell divides, the telomere shortens, and that's what determines your obsolescence. So I plugged telomere into her search engine. This was even before Google. And then there was all these hits on telomeres, and I got a bunch of information about it, and I was able to write the article. But as soon as I saw those hits on telomeres, I said, I got to get one of those. That kind of was a Freudian. And then I did your podcast, and you told me how much money you make, and I said, I gotta get one of those.
You saw our tits.
You saw our sweet tits.
Hell yeah.
Well, man, let's get some closing arguments here. What are you thinking about? What do you want to close on? Watergate, Epstein,
future of the country?
I would say your listeners go to Epstein Justice and check us out. And, you know, it'd be helpful if you bought my Watergate book. Actually, it'd be helpful if you bought any of my books. And it's good to be back with you guys.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Awesome.